Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, you gotta Well, my brothers and sisters. Yes, indeed, we're back. Yes, indeed, we're back again. Back again for another episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Enemia, Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very thankful to the Most High, yes, indeed, for the opportunity to be back with you here again. Yes, speak these very, very precious words the Most High has granted me for the blessing. I said for the blessing of his people. Welcome to the show. Yes, indeed, I thank the Most High for every ear that he brings near. Most High told me that indeed I have for him some very important things for him to do. And he told me that because of what I must do, he said that surely indeed I would accrue some very powerful friends. Yes, some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, I would have his protection, and his guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I can only be utmost thankful. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, he has told me, he's commanded me, that I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, that I must tell you things that men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to revert, to silence, and if they could, brothers and sisters, to destroy. Let us remember, let us keep in mind all that the Most High has spoken. I said all that the Most High has spoken, men will be given, have to give account of one day. According to the book of Acts, it is written in the 3rd chapter, 18th to 23rd verse, it speaks of how it shall surely be that in Messiah's appearing, he shall bring to remembrance in a time of restitution, times of refreshing, times of restoration. Oh, we talk about the times of restoration. He shall bring forth, my brothers and sisters, a remembrance of all things the Most High has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. And we must truly think about why this is so. Shall a man deny anything the Most High has spoken? Disagree? Choose to be irrational, unreasoning, regarding anything the Most High has spoken as a rule for righteousness and peace for his people? And then yet expect in such hypocrisy, compromise, and rebellion to yet be called worthy as a partaker with those who will be confirmed in his holy name? It's rather obvious, my brothers and sisters, yes it is, that Messiah comes in the last days of this age to bring about a remembrance of all the Most High has spoken, that it might be discerned absolutely without question who it is that is true unto Yah. For the Most High, my brothers and sisters, indeed is Rishon Aharon. He is the first and the last. He declares from the beginning the things that have not yet been. We make that clear. He is Rishon Aharon. He is the one that declares from the beginning the things not yet done, the things that shall be, the things that he shall bring to bear, that all our brothers and sisters might discern that in all things his word is true. He declared, my brothers and sisters, by saying and declaring to mankind that which shall be. He also declares that which shall not be. Blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who discerning what the Most High has declared. I say to my brothers and sisters, blessed are they who discern what the Most High has declared. Will not be deceived. I said, will not be deceived, nor in any way taken away to be beguiled after other expectation. Think about it, what I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters. Think what I'm telling you. The prophecies all relate. In these latter days, the end of the age, must come one when the Most High calls the inheritor of his mountains. He calls him Shiloh. Shiloh. Him unto whom it belongs. Him unto whom he shall give all the lands, all the nations, all the mountains, if you will, of the earth. Most High should give it to him by right. Well, there's a reason why, my brothers and sisters. The simple answer to it all is because the Most High intends in their being declared to the earth one king, also the declaration of one law. One common, consummate understanding, my brothers and sisters, that was declared from the beginning that it should never, ever change. That it should never, ever, my brothers and sisters, be called what he did. Never should it be that what he has declared of old should be anything else but considered forever a true foundation. Blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who will understand this. For when he says he is the first and the last, he is the one who declares from the beginning that which is the eventuality. He is the unchanging, irrevocable promise and is, in fact, the unchanging truth. He is, my brothers and sisters, the word of Yah, and his word should not return to him void. There's so much concerning this idea about the first and the last that needs to be clarified, because I've been talking to a few people, quite frankly. And they hear the term first and the last, but they haven't considered what all the prophets say the term means. I want to look at that in just a moment. But first, before I do that, I want to look at this concept of what the scriptures call Shiloh. Let's please, if you would with me, go with me to Genesis 49, or say Genesis 49 and 10. Genesis 49 and 10. Okie dokie. Okay. Genesis 49 and 10. I'm doing two or three things here at the same time. Pardon me for just a second while I multitask. Actually, I'm downloading something to make some things a little bit easier for myself while I am while I do this show. Here we go. Just a moment, please. Well, I'm doing this. Hopefully, some of you can get your Bibles out so you can read these things for yourself. Meantime, I will look at bring to bear some of these various scriptures from the context of the way they are written, translated, a few various texts. I want to make sure the point of what it is indeed comes across. Okay, Genesis 14:10. The scepter, that means the rule of the kingship, shall not depart. In other words, there should be no other promise of a king, ultimately a king in this world, nor a lawgiver from between his feet. In other words, the promise, even the promise of a lawgiver from between his feet, talking about Judah. This was a measure of the statements, the promises given by Jacob to his son concerning the various tribes. And he spoke about Judah in this wise, the tribe of Judah in this wise, saying, the scepter should not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and to him shall the gathering of the people be. Very powerful statement, brothers and sisters, for those who begin to see the implications. But this is one of the verses that is fundamental to understanding so much other prophecy concerning the coming of the Messiah. Notice it says, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. We've talked about these things in prophecy many times. In particular, Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11 says, there's come a root out of the stem of Jesse, a branch will grow out of his roots. Now the scripture says ultimately in that 11th chapter of Isaiah that he shall expose all the wicked. How about all the false rule? How about all the intrusions of false righteousness after the misadministrations of man? He shall expose them, my brothers and sisters, as not having been the righteousness of Yah. He shall expose them, my brothers and sisters, as having been misadministrations of men, presumptuousness of men. Many, if you will, my brothers and sisters, decrees made by men after carnal mind. I can only tell you that when the king comes, he unto whom it belongs by right, the one called Shiloh, whom the Most High have shall pronounce as an inheritor of his kingdom, an inheritor of his mountains. When he comes, my brothers and sisters, he shall make it plain that so much of what men have done and so much of the misadministrations or administrations we see in this world in their divisions and in their contradictions have been misruled that the Most High have never, ever sanctioned. For this one shall declare the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel, the true rule of the kingdom, after which Messiah shall rule at Jerusalem, sitting upon the throne of David. That rule revealed will expose as far from fruitive, far from the righteousness of Yah. As we said many times in this show, the gospel, my brothers and sisters, is the rule of the kingdom from on high that shall govern this earth. Kings, rulers, pastors, priests, rabbis, all claim to be preaching the gospel. If they truly preached it. If they truly preached the gospel, my brothers and sisters, they would have said something like Paul said. Something like Shaul, Paul said, saying, I know nothing on which I'm guilty. But I might not be right in this. Did you hear me? He said, I might not be right in this, for my judge is the Lord. He said, therefore, let us not consider ourselves so wise, so righteous before the time. Until ultimately, you see, until Messiah comes, reveal the hidden things that men have not considered. And then shall every man know how to praise Yah. Remember what I spoke to you before, my brothers and sisters, what I spoke to you before, is that various rulers in this world have been deeply concerned with protecting the rule, after which they rule in their pulpits, upon their thrones. But it's without question, if we see a rule, divided rule in this world, it is quite evident that without question, since Yah is one, that which has wrought divisions in this world has not been true, I repeat, has not been true to what the Most High, my brothers and sisters, has projected from the beginning. Did you hear me? Has projected from the beginning, eternal. For if man had kept the commandments, the rules of the Most High from the beginning, great would have been his peace. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? Great would have been peace on earth. And there would not have been many generations destroyed before Yah. What I'm saying to you, if you look at Isaiah 48, is that no one is found justified before the Most High by faith or trust in the rule of another. Most High told me directly, that to be subject to anyone's rule or anyone's conscience, not true unto Yah, I mean not true ultimately unto all the Most High decreed, is bondage. It is tribulation. It is a deception, my brothers and sisters. There's a reason why the people of old look to the expectation, the one that was called the righteous one. Righteous one like the rising sun. He is Shiloh. The one that's mentioned in Isaiah 41. They look for the appearance of this one. That if you read all the prophecies from Isaiah 40 through 43, then start around 44 of 20, reading on through 46:13, he being the one who destroys Babylon and expose all false rule, all the diverse rule of this earth, once and for all, destroying all the confusions of false righteousness that deceive the masses. If you understand, my brothers and sisters, that who this is, one called Shiloh, unto him to the gathering of the people be. You understand those prophecies, my brothers and sisters. You understand that they of old who had this faith knew to look, to trust, to seek Yah beyond all, I said, beyond all the standards of men. For when the Messiah shall appear, the scripture says it is because, in Isaiah 59, it is because the whole world has fallen far short of the glory of Yah. Isaiah 41 talks about 41:21. Need to read it about 42:4. Often relates that Messiah comes because there was most high looked and saw none who preached his gospel. Meaning that the standards of men are teaching have not been fruitive unto all the Most High would have be taught, that there might be an intercessor, a true priest among his people. For if there is no one among men who can discern and who can teach what is the fullness of the gospel, there is no intercessor among men whose petitions could raise the conscience of men to the dimension intended. Messiah said in Yohanan, John 17, and we'll come back to these scriptures in Isaiah 11. He said in Yohanan 17, I make no request for the worldly. 14th chapter says, the spirit of truth, the worldly will not receive. I make no request for the worldly, but those who accept thy word. Says the spirit of truth, the worldly will not receive. Well, how about will not accept? Meaning those who despise the idea of there being one king and one righteousness, who despise the idea about the need to discern that fullness. Those who despise that premise, our brothers and sisters, many will just simply choose not to seek or to uphold, to believe at all. When the scripture says Abraham believed Yah, what it meant, my brothers and sisters, is Abraham believed Yah, true to all that the Most High unto him revealed. And he was told to seek Yah, my brothers and sisters. Did you hear me? He was told to seek Yah for his perfect will, that through his seed, through his faith, through his descendants, those who have like faith, the earth might be blessed. How about made one? He did not say that a partial standard shall bring this blessedness to bear. But adherence, my brothers and sisters, seeking Yah for the fullness. No less than seeking the fullness would be sufficient to appease Yah. Purity and completion offers one choice. As soon as men believe it is within their right to take away or add anything to the content of the scripture or to the so-called, if you will, contract, covenant. Whenever men feel that they have a right to add or take away, my brothers and sisters, the end result is not the same contract. It's not a holy contract, and it's not true to one. Whenever those who are constituent upon it feel that they have a right to change anything, then the end result is you don't even have a law because you no longer have order. The Most High declared from the beginning to eternity, my brothers and sisters, what is the foundation? What is the eventuality? And nations have not taught it as they should, because the truth of the matter is every true believer looks forward to the establishment of one government, one kingdom, one righteous rule as given from on high over all this world. Meaning, when it says, unto him shall the gathering of the people be, it means that they know what it means, that they must transcend, must exceed, must gain victory in the knowledge of the truth beyond all the rules. This is what Messiah himself said in Micaiah 5:14-21. He said to his people, you are the light of the world, and they must show forth a pure, perfect light. He said the remnant of Israel will speak no lies, doing no iniquity, have no one to harm or dissuade them. Be strong in his word, my brothers and sisters. That's why Zephaniah 3:13. It's a powerful thing to say that people have gained the knowledge of the truth and discretion with regard to what is divine covenant. The point, they speak no lies, no division, no false doctrine. Well, my brothers and sisters, what else would the Most High sign his name upon? Shall he vouchsafe his name upon a people divided, who cannot be a light, cannot be that irrevocable and variant light? Said you are the salt of the earth. Spoke to his people saying the word. And the salt be contaminated in any way after the dust of the earth. Say, with what should it return to its initial state as salt? Salt was supposed to preserve things against contamination. Oftentimes people of old, they didn't have refrigerators. They packed things in salt to keep it from putrefying. So what good would the salt taint it with pollution? What good would it be? He says, no good but to be trodden down by men. And therefore Messiah said, think not in any way that he come to destroy the law, destroy or dishonor any part of the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets, my brothers and sisters, is that salt and is that light. He said, if you love me, you would keep, guard, defend his commandments, the knowledge of his rule. You would seek the knowledge of his rule absolutely beyond all else, allowing nothing to contaminate it, nothing to pollute it, nothing to take away from any part of it. He said, therefore, think not I came to dishonor in any way the law of the prophets, but to teach them fully. Yes, my brothers and sisters, to teach fully the word beyond what was common among the Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees. For Rome, some few decades before the birth of Messiah, had come into Jerusalem and slaughtered all the priests and set up priesthood after their own ideals, so much so that they said they had no king but Caesar. Messiah called that level of the so-called priesthood, he called it hypocrisy. Surely then the righteousness of his people must exceed that of the rulers who at the time were complicit with the idea of Israel being a Roman satrapy, in other words, under Roman rule. Meaning that your righteousness, in order to attain to the kingdom of Yah, I did not say the kingdom of this world, your righteousness to attain to what is acceptable under the kingdom of Yah must certainly then exceed all the unrighteousness of worldly rulers. I think, my brothers and sisters, that if we are willing to consider these things to be reasonable, we understand why the scripture says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by a word from Yah. I said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by a word from Yah. Faith is always a matter of exceeding the unrighteousness, the shallow-minded standards of men. Always. Always, my brothers and sisters. For dare men believe that in some 280-odd nations we see in the world today, dare men believe, my brothers and sisters, that there's no discernment necessary beyond all the anomalies and adversity of men? That is necessary if we are true to Yah? Do we really believe that all the pluralities we see among men will be found true unto Yah? Do we really believe that men can follow, truly follow, the Most High, even the Son of Man? If they do not convert, if they do not discern the greater righteousness of Yah, do they think that they can follow him who is the Son of Man, overcome the marks of the beast, the standards of the nations? If they are sedentary after worldly status quo, it makes absolutely no sense to believe that, my brothers and sisters. I did a show the other night about the fact that the faith was, in fact, surely a grassroots type of movement. We talked about how the scriptures said that among those who were believers, very rare few among them were from among the nobility. Very rare few from among the rulers. And the early church was even warned, be careful lest they be judged after the standards of men rather than Yah. And in so doing, men lose all concept of what is acceptable unto the Holy King. Much about this to consider, my brothers and sisters, because, quite frankly, again, what were we looking at 2,000 years ago, and what are we looking at today? Western polytheists had come into the East. People who by no means could desire or quickly accept the idea of one king established by one Most High, because the rulers of Rome called themselves pretty much, you might well say, religious brokers. They felt and taught the people that they were rulers because they had the favor of the most number of their gods. And state actually impugned upon the people that whatever god they believe established their rulers, those gods must be cumulatively worshipped by all those who were part of the Roman Empire. Nevertheless, we understand that Yah is one. And as far as what Rome sought to do, the fact of the matter is Rome didn't care anything about the wholeness of one supreme being. Rome, my brothers and sisters, was much more concerned. I repeat, Rome was much more concerned about the idea, if they could, to make even the Holy One of Israel to be not unlike any of the various gods in the Roman pantheon. No respect for Yah, no reverence for an absolute. That was the nature of what they call Pax Romana. They call the Peace of Rome. In other words, the state mandated that all should accept all the confusion, all the contradictions, all the hypocrisies, all the irrationalities of all their gods who constantly fought against one another. What is the hope of peace in this, my brothers and sisters? Ultimately, at the end of the day, there is none. And as long as men seek to rule according to their own standards, or men are left without a king that the Most High has granted, a king who discerns divine rule absolutely, man, my brothers and sisters, will always be subject to the ruthless, always be subject to the selfishly ambitious. So the promise of the Most High is that he will send a king. And my brothers and sisters, so much prophecy speaks of that king, how he shall appear, even in so many ways declares his name. Nevertheless, rulers have not spoken of this. You need to ask why they haven't talked to you about what I call the secret city prophecies. Check out my website, www.hiddengospel.com. Something, an article there called Secret City Prophecies. Why they didn't tell you who Messiah said he is and all that is connoted according to what he said must be taught in all the churches in Revelation 22:16, when he said he's the root and offspring of David and the bright morning star. What does that imply, my brothers and sisters? He says the root and offspring of David and the bright morning star. What does that imply? Well, I said earlier that I was going to come back to Isaiah 11. And I believe the time to do so is now. I think it might be appropriate, all things considered. So much to be looked at. Still haven't gotten to the mass of information just yet. All the prophecies that it might be discerning. Isaiah 11:1, there shall come a root forth, a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Most High shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of reverence of the Most High. The Most High shall make him a quick understanding in the reverence of Yah, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. He is the anointed one. He perceives after something greater than ordinary, carnal perception, carnal perspective. And believe, my brothers and sisters, no man attains to the dimension of righteousness which we speak here, lest the Most High opens his eyes. Carnal mind not discerning the plan, not discerning what the Most High's intents are, not discerning, my brothers and sisters, that the Most High has established a foundation upon which all these things must be. Very rarely will consider all things, my brothers and sisters, the Most High declared that his people must attain. And the end result of such is not that the people have been true to the will of one, but that they have so often, I repeat, so very often, counted themselves wise after the diverse will of many. And the scriptures tell us well in 1 Corinthians 3:18-23, does not consider ourselves so wise before the time. If any man consider himself wise in this world, meaning after all the diverse standards of this world, let him consider himself a fool that he may become wise. That means let him discern beyond all the folly, all the fallen standards that are in this world. Let him seek Yah. That's the scripture in the book of Yahweh. They call it James. It says he's scattered among the nations, lacking wisdom, lacking discretion, because so many misrepresentations said you need to ask Yah. For the double-minded man. He said, let him not think he received anything from Yah. What did Messiah say? One of the last things he said upon just before ascension is, I make no request for the world, but those who accept thy word. Do you not understand the implications of what this means? Messiah went again to be with his Father. And then say he petitions, intercedes for our sins. Some have said this through the course of centuries. God's the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Well, my brothers and sisters, I can only tell you this. Before going to the stake, Messiah definitively said, I make no request, no petition for the worldly. That means his petitions are for those only who seek a divine absolute. Do I need to repeat that? His petitions are only for those who seek a divine absolute. You say, why should he hear the petitions of those who remain double-minded? Why should he hear the petitions of those who want other gods? Why should he hear the petitions of those who profane the holy name? Why should he make petitions for those who will never become complete unto the Most High? When he said he makes petitions for us, for our sins, some scriptures say, it means he makes petition that we might no longer be divided after the multitude of misrepresentative standards declared by men. Shall men think that they might be reconciled unto peace after a multitude of diverse standards? Messiah said, wherever two or more of you are gathered in my name, he said, there am I in the midst. And the reason for it is that men might be reconciled, discerning and giving consideration to the truths they had not considered. When he said, come, let us reason together. Here's to my reason according to the fullness of his will, denying nothing, lest we be erring in judgment. What did Messiah say to the leaders of his time? It's not so that you err because you do not understand the scriptures after the power of the eye. the power of Yah, brothers and sisters, the principles of Yah, the strength of Yah, is not that he makes a judgment according to part of what the scriptures say, but true to all. For the Most High does not deny himself. He says and does nothing without reason. So you need to understand what these scriptures are saying. Getting back to the 11th chapter of Isaiah. He said, but with righteousness shall he judge to put down the poor. How about those meek in spirit? And in other words, he shall judge with equity that there might be justice. He will prove with equity for the meek of the earth. In other words, he shall champion the cause of those who would be humble unto his will. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. Same thing said in Revelation 19. He smite the nation with the iron mark on the sharp two-edged sword. In which he should smite the nations. And will rule them with a rod of iron. How about rule them with an unflinching rule? How about, my brothers and sisters, rule them according to what is the word of Yah, the unchanged and irrevocable word that was declared from the beginning, eternal. Who will understand really the meaning of the scripture says, in the beginning was the word was with Yah, and the word was Yah. We're talking about an irrevocable word, my brothers and sisters, declared from the beginning that is true to all eternity. When he says he is the first and the last, he means he's the unchanging, irrevocable truth. Truth is what it is, my brothers and sisters. I said truth is what it is. For a man to reject truth is to make himself a fool. Truth, my brothers and sisters, is what will decide in terms of whether a man receives it or rejects it. Truth will decide, my brothers and sisters, whether or not a man has believed or is willing to believe, willing to reason, or not to be true unto Yah. And blessed, my brothers and sisters, are those who without doubt will understand this and will seek for no less than all the Most High has intended. Blessed, my brothers and sisters, yes, I said blessed, are those who will not turn astray from this truth, but will hold steadfast to it. Well, hear me, my brothers and sisters. These scriptures at Isaiah 11, at 11:5, at 11:5 say, with righteousness should he judge the poor. Equity for the meek of the earth. Smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. In other words, the whole world should be judged according to one ultimate standard. Did you hear me, brothers and sisters? The whole world should be judged to one unchanging ultimate standard. Nothing in it lacking. Blessed are they who will discern it, my brothers and sisters. The breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Shall he expose what the scriptures call at 14, you need to read 14, 1 through 5, Isaiah. He said, the wicked is the scepter of the rulers. Okay, if you have a multitude of different rulers contentious against one another, then certainly, my brothers and sisters, they are not lawful, but lawless. And that's what the word wicked means. And righteousness should be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. We're talking about a time of peace. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall be able to lead them, none harming. How the bear shall feed, the young one shall lie together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. All my brothers and sisters, these scriptures talk about a time of great peace. 11, Isaiah 11 and 9. And they shall not hurt nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Yah, as the waters cover the sea. And that day shall be a root of Jesse. Jesse, out of the tribe of Judah, David's father. He said, which shall stand as an ensign of the people, a guide to the people. And to him shall the nations seek. How about unto him shall the gathering of the people be? What we read in Genesis 49. And his rest shall be glorious. And it's going to pass in that day the Most High shall set his hand again a second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and Hamath and from the isles of the sea. And he set up an ensign for the nations, and he shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four winds of the earth. Well, my brothers and sisters, think about what I just read to you. Scripture says concerning him, the scepter shall not part from Judah, ultimately until Shiloh come. And to him shall the gathering of the people be. It should have always been that men have the expectation, my brothers and sisters, of one who would gather all the people unto what indeed is divine righteousness. Ezekiel 21:27 says, I will overturn it, overturn it, overturn it. Talking about this system. Third time overturning, my brothers and sisters, is the charm. He said, I'll overturn it, overturn it, overturn it. I'll make it a ruin. And he talks about restoration. There will be no more. Talking about this, and finally it shall be that this system of lies shall be no more. And he said that our restored, our restoration will not come until he comes to whom it belongs by right. And I will give it, and to him will I give it. I'm talking about Ezekiel 21:27. If you notice, the scripture says that what Shiloh means, it means him who to whom the nations and the kingdoms belong by right, and to him will I give it. Well, did you notice the scripture says restoration will not come till he appears? Meaning that the standards that this world walk after, in some of the ways will be perverse and polluted, till comes the king. Meaning that those who gain the victory must gain the knowledge of truth and righteousness. Yes, my brothers and sisters, must gain the knowledge of truth and righteousness that a whole world has sought to ignore. Or dare men say that if they are subject to those who hide the truth, that they still gain victory over the deceivers? Most High told me some of the biggest lies have been told to hide the greatest truths. He told me I better listen to him or let somebody make a fool of me. In other words, the end result, you function after fallacy. Look at the word foolish, fallacy. Look at the word faulty, fallen. A standard, my brothers and sisters, that is not complete. Abraham was told to walk after the Most High and seek his perfect will, and that would be a blessing to the nations. Did he say that his seed would be a blessing to the nations, looking for less, anticipating less? What is it, my brothers and sisters, that is to safeguard man that he does not, I say that he does not, fall entirely victim to the short-sighted standards of his rulers? Messiah said, your righteous must exceed that he rules, else you should not enter his kingdom. Meaning that the standard of the rulers is not the standard of his kingdom. He said, all power from on high has been given unto him. Go ye forth and teach the nations, convert the nations, baptize them. That means convert them into the realization that all that they believed before had been sin, pollution, corruption. He said, Lord, I'll be with you to the end of the age. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. The dispensation of the gospel was always a word declaring to mankind that they must discern beyond the multitude of rulers. I can only tell you that the institutions that we see in this world have been ultimately extremely treacherous. Men calling themselves pastors have gotten their so-called DDS, or Doctor of Divine Science degrees, Doctor of Divinity degrees, in generic institutions where they can take that degree to any denomination, put it up on their walls, and say they have divine credential. Yah is one, my brothers and sisters. The people who pass out those credentials have not been those who sought for absolution. If they had, my brothers and sisters, all these diversities we see could not be. And yet you have pastors who look for credentials from hypocritically contradictive and contentious institutions. Because guess what? Basically what one pastor told me, from point blank, he said, don't you know for us, what does he mean about us? He said, pastors. It is not about, well, he said what Jesus said. He said it is about us learning a profession. I can only tell you that the pastor who showed me this was just getting ready to get out of seminary school, and he wanted to look for a job, and he had resumes. He was copying resumes at a copy shop at the time, and he had them to all kinds of denominations: Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, Episcopalian, all manner of denominations. And I was seeing them saying, I said, wait a minute, hold on, this guy working anywhere, somebody give him a job. And that's exactly what he told me. Well, the institutions are created that way. Do you really believe, my brothers and sisters, that the Most High sanctions an institution that will not sanction him as one, will not sanction him as holy, will not respect him or give reverence to him as he absolutely is? Remember what I told you earlier. When Scripture says Abraham believed Yah, it means he believed Yah as he is. Just for man to say he believes the Most High and having not heard from him or has not discerned or pursued his absolute will, knowing that he must pursue it beyond all else, because Abraham didn't believe Yah according to the statements of others. He heard directly from the Most High. And the Scriptures tells us, well, faith therefore comes by hearing. And hearing by ultimately means a word from Yah, because not all have heard even to begin to preach the teaching of the gospel. All my brothers and sisters, many, having the written word but not seeking it by faith, have sought to establish their own righteousness and have divided the peoples. And for this reason, the Apostle Shaul said, my gracious desire for Israel, they might be saved. How about delivered, my brothers and sisters, from all the multitude of those who teach in their own standards, keep the people divided, who, because they don't seek the pure, perfect will of Yah, as the Scripture said, the Holy Spirit would teach us to do. Because they don't seek that absolution. The end result of it, my brothers and sisters, has been a people continually divided. So the Scriptures say when the king comes, when Shiloh comes, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And this shall be the peace of his people Israel. Oh, brothers and sisters, how much have they really taught you in your churches? But Isaiah 66, for instance, talk about Messiah rebuking what is often the church and state. Even after the destruction of a city, that finally, my brothers and sisters, all Israel discerning the truth would be like a nation reborn as if it were in one day. All people gathered after the will of one. Why don't they tell you about that? Is it because, my brothers and sisters, because the truth of Messiah is that according to Malachi in the third chapter, how about 2:17 and 3:4 in particular, and Isaiah in the 40th, 27th, through 41:4 of Isaiah, says the Messiah comes and he must reprove all the rulers, kings and priests of the whole earth, that men come to recognize the will of one. Isaiah 59 says the Most High looked and saw no intercessor, saw that men were lying and transgressing against the Most High. That's not the gospel. Misrepresenting him. So it says he'll put upon himself the whole armor. And whoever will not will stand against that entirety of truth, the Scripture says he will render to those nations a recompense. It means he put upon the whole armor, my brothers and sisters, even as you should. Seeking him. I didn't say man. Seeking him. And let me see if I can explain that. Many times people just crack open a Bible and they look at it and they ask questions concerning what they think they need to know. I can only tell you a prayer that I've prayed many times. Father, I don't know what I don't know. Don't know what I need to know. Don't know what's been stuck in my head that keeps me from discerning at the greater dimensions that are necessary, that I need to know to be able to help your people, not to be true to your name. But I say, Father, you do know. If you don't tell me, then I won't know. Oh, Father, Father, Father. How many are just simply willing to just accept the flatteries of men? How many realize the need to seek so much more? Messiah said, unless your righteousness exceed that of your rulers, that you discern his righteousness, true to all things. He said, you won't be prepared for his kingdom. Isaiah 41:2 talks about scriptures in the context of Israel being regathered made a strong people again. The scripture says 41:2 says, who has raised up this righteous one? Or this righteous man who is like the rising sun, whose glory, whose light is like the rising sun, cast out the darkness, reveals the light that the world would obscure. Who called him to his foot? Who did it? Who gave nations before him? Again, we're talking about somebody to whom the nations belong by right. He said, gave the nation before him, made him rule over kings. He gave them, he said again, as dust to a sword, and driven stubble to his bow, to the accuracy of his word and his thoughts. Who has wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Most High, the first and the last, I am he. Speaks again and again, my brothers and sisters, by one whom the Most High will grant the kingdoms of the earth. In other words, he will put the world in a condition, that those who would survive must hearken to his word. Scripture says he'll bring about a restitution, a restoration of all things, that whoever does not hearken to that prophet should be cut off from among the people. Acts 3:18-23. Need to consider what these scriptures mean, my brothers and sisters. Why did the leaders tell you this? Because they didn't want to tell you that the only way you attain the kingdom is to transcend the standards of your pastors, priests, and rabbis, to discern the truth that they did not speak, that you compel your leaders, in fact, in discernment of the truth, that they must give consideration to all the Most High said. And if those who will be called his people will not seek the word of the Most High to the dimension that they compel all to give account, what does the scripture say? It says, every foolish word a man speaks, he should give account of it. I said he should give account of it in the judgment. Father, help us all to understand, meaning that if man does not do what is necessary, that the people of Yah shall be one, how should it be assured that they would be a true people unto him? The light must shine, my brothers and sisters, even if the whole world rebels. The whole world be a liar. I said, if the whole world be a liar, Yah will yet be true. Therefore, man chooses to teach another testimony. He chooses to teach another testimony, my brothers and sisters. Should it be called anything else but a hypocrite? Time to understand the real. Truly, my brothers and sisters, time to understand what the Most High has declared. Isaiah 65:9, see, I'll bring forth the seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, again, out of the tribe of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains. He said, and my elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. The prophecies thereafter in Isaiah 65, my brothers and sisters, sound so much like Isaiah 11. Who will understand it in this time? For the time to discern this promise of the Most High, that it would compel men, if they were wise, to seek beyond all the shallow-minded standards that have created so many diverse denominations. But if men knew, they had to seek the whole truth that they might be one. Men wouldn't be so quick to just simply trust the path to save, but they seek to examine these things fully for themselves. He said, watch out for false prophets. How about those who teach a fallen word rather than the whole word? How about watching out for those who cry out, Lord, Lord, but not to perform or teach fully what is the will of the Father? Holy Spirit seeks to teach all things, no lie in it. Well, they claim after the Spirit that they have a right to deny according to the mandates of their denominations. That broke the first commandment. My brother and sister, somebody who can't get the first command, can't understand the first command of the foundation, can't even begin to talk about relating the greater ramifications of the word. But nevertheless, my brother and sister, these are those who would exalt their own authority, expecting in their treachery
for the Most High to reveal himself through them. Never, my brothers and sisters, to a dimension with which the Most High is ultimately pleased. Who will understand it in his time? In this time, my brothers and sisters, who will understand it? True faith in Yah as the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the constant and unchanging word of truth, was the Hebrew. It was all about exceeding the unrighteous partialities, thus the inconsistency, the inconsciencies, if you will, lack of discretion, lack of awareness, were variant worldly status quo. Any one of a multitude of worldly status quos. Faith, even the expectation and revelation of the object of our faith, true expectation and knowledge of him is not of men, but of Yah. Who then, my brothers and sisters, will trust Yah, seeking him to attain consideration of all divine righteousness, the summit of all that is his plan, to transcend all the shallow-minded, lesser awareness and irrationalities of a carnally driven mind that never will understand divine purpose. And quite frankly, whoever seeks after a carnal mind to discern divine purpose will never find it. You must have a gift from Yah. You must petition the Most High for that gift, for his grace that brings forth greater knowledge. The capacity to see how all the scriptures work together for one good. It is they who do the strong foundation and knowledge of the Holy Name. These will discern the sure eventuality. These are the children of Yah. For it is not after the world that men discern what Yah has prophesied concerning the nations. The rulers of the nations speak to you as if the nations of this world and their rulerships will always be somehow sanctioned. My brothers and sisters, again, when the king has come, he will assure in the rebuke of all the nations that so many misadministrations of man were never anything that he ever once gave license. When he declares his rule, it will be discerned that what men have done since the fall has not been true unto Yah. Did you hear what the scripture says, that the restoration shall not come till Shiloh come? The full restoration of our ancestors will not come till Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of all the people be. Then that mean that your faith has always been a matter of having to transcend what in this world is ordinary? There are those who talk about the concept of Rishon Acharon, the first and the last. Maybe it might, let's see. I think I have the ability perhaps, I might see if I can do it. Maybe somebody else can, that's listening tonight, can do this for me if I can't do it immediately. But Isaiah 41 and 4, when it talks about the first and the last, I said Isaiah 41, 4. Isaiah 41 and 4. Okay, I think we got it now. Who has wrought and done it, calling the generation from the beginning? I, the first and the last, I am he. What he said, he called the generation, or calling what shall be in the generation, the posterity, what shall be and across the ages from the beginning, I am the Most High, the first and the last, I am he. What about the scripture, my brothers and sisters, concerning what he calls the first and the last, the irrevocable truth? What about irrevocable and unchanging truth? Isaiah 44, how about 6-8, thus says Isaiah 44, 6, thus says the Most High, the King of Israel, and the Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last, and besides me there is no God. How about there is no other truth, no other standard? None else, my brothers and sisters, after which men should completely trust. All else then being tainted, partial. He said, outside or beside him there is no absolution. Who as I shall call and declare it and set it in order for me since I appointed the ancient people? In other words, set things in order again. Since he appointed the ancient people. How about even appointed the setting all things in order for the ancient people? Who should declare the things that are coming and shall come. Let them show unto them. Let them show that they have this testimony. How many of my brothers and sisters have given full consideration to all the Most High has said concerning what shall be? I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, I look around and seeing so many unwilling to do this, to declare all things, the Messiah will approve all the rulers and kings and priests, seeking to have the trust of the people. My brothers and sisters, I can only tell you that those who seek to be exalted by men will never be just, will never have the pleasure of Yah, the knowledge of Yah. Not to the degree it's intended, nor will they have his reward. Isaiah 41:21, produce your cause, says the Most High. He's talking to the rulers. Bring forth your strong reason, says the King of Yaakov. Let them bring forth. Show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things, what they shall be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare to us the things that are to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that you are gods. How about that you are of the truth? Yea, do good or evil. That we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, ye are nothing. If you can't declare this testimony, this everlasting testimony, you are not of him. Behold, ye are nothing. Your work is not. The abomination is whoever chooses you. And Most High has raised up one from the north, and he should come from the rising of the sun, should he call upon my name. How about all that is true in his covenant? And it should come upon princes, upon martyrs, the pot of treads clay, who has declared it from the beginning that we may know it from before time. Oh, beginning and the end, first and the last. We may say that he is righteous. Sounds like it's a righteous everlasting standard. He says at that time he comes because there's none that is shown, yea, there's none that declares, none that even hears his words. When you talk about the voice crying in the wilderness, most people want to believe that what they already have is wise. That's why the scriptures say most will not listen to him. The scripture says he comes to the city, the wicked city, Zephaniah 3:1-5. Morning by morning he brings justice to light. But the wicked, the lawless, those who know nothing of this covenant and really don't care to know, he said they know no shame. Isn't it time, my brothers and sisters, that we discern that what the Most High will bring then is a word that transcends the norm? And if we are not willing to look for that greater word, we're not prepared to look for him. Isaiah 43:9, let all the nations be gathered together. Okay, no scripture says to him shall gathering the people be. Let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us the former thing? How about show us the thing that were declared of old? Let them bring forth their witness, their testimony, and show that they, this is what this was, that's their testimony, that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say it is true. All my brothers and sisters, again, the idea of the first and the last, the beginning and the end, is a matter of declaring and knowing what is fully in the testimony of the Most High from the very beginning. All these prophecies concerning Shiloh, my brothers and sisters, are also those that relate to the one. I said that relate to one, the one. Psalms 110, it speaks of David saying concerning Shiloh, even the one he called Lord. So the Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand. Shall make thy enemies thy footstool. The Father says to his Son, sit thou at my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool, till I set all the nations down to be deposed, all the rulers down to be deposed, to establish one ruler. What about the 11th chapter of Revelation that says, the kingdoms of the earth will become the kingdoms of Yah and his Kurdi, his righteous one. No, I'm not talking about that Greek word Christ, his righteous one. He said, because of this, the nations were angry. Well, my brothers and sisters, the nations that converted, they've been looking forward to the coming of this one. In fact, all true believers look forward to the coming of one who will prove wicked or unrighteous all the rulers of the nation, that men might seek for a greater peace and righteousness and the strength of Yah. And whoever, my brothers and sisters, does not look for that eventuality, in his hypocrisy, my brothers and sisters, in his double-mindedness, the scripture says, will not receive anything of the reward of Yah. Look at the book of Yaakov, they call it James 1:1-8, and understand. No one, my brothers and sisters, who is not looking to see the greater will of Yah beyond all the word is spoken, will be found true unto the Holy Kingdom. Conversion, my brothers and sisters, is not according to part of the word, but all of it. Who is the Son in this time? That indeed through the aid in the testimony, the world might be blessed. A lot of faith, my brothers and sisters. A lot of truth in the scriptures, my brothers and sisters. Perspectives in the scriptures that the leaders are not sought to teach. Because a true priest, my brothers and sisters, knows that he shouldn't make any petition for them who would willfully, continually profane the holy name. He prays that men might turn from their evil ways, the wicked ways, lawless ways, pluralist ways, and live. Because even Messiah does not petition that anyone double-minded after the ideals of another world, even Messiah does not petition they in his kingdom. It is meant to be the holy kingdom, my brothers and sisters. The holy kingdom after the conscience of Yah. And the holy kingdom of Yah, my brothers and sisters, has one king, not many, who will understand it at this time. Pastors pray to devils then, my brothers and sisters, that all manner of deviant standards have haven on earth in these irreverently indiscriminate days. I didn't say they pray to Yah. If they pray for indiscriminate thoughts to have validity, they pray to profane the holy name, that adversaries against the holy name remain. Far better, my brothers and sisters, that they should petition for what was known to be the hope for all those of the early church. For they knew that the standard of salvation was never anything after all the confusions of man, but ultimately after one absolution. Blessed then, my brothers and sisters, are those who will understand this. For none else but those who do understand it should be accounted among the wise. None but those who do understand it, my brothers and sisters, be found worthy of a holy kingdom. For the holy kingdom is not after the thoughts of another, not after the will of another king, but the will of one. Blessed are they who will discern it and discern the blessedness of the word that you now hear. Because quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, there won't be many, but one king, one truth that will sit to rule over Jerusalem, sit over our kingdom, Yah, that will be established at Jerusalem. The nature of faith in Yah was always to exceed the unrighteous intrusions of men, through discerning through Yah all that is the righteousness of Yah that he would reveal for the peace of his people. And having that expectation, early church, my brothers and sisters, not call themselves after polytheist word like Christianity. That's a Greek word. They call themselves Kurdishanya. Kur meaning sun, Tis meaning rise, Shah meaning king. They were the worshippers, my brothers and sisters, who had expectation in the promise of Yah, one that was called the king of the east, king like the rising sun who cast out all the darkness, who cast out, my brothers and sisters, all the anomalies and confusions wrought by the kings and false priests of this world, that Yah himself may reign in all the earth. If they may know from the rising sun to the west, there's none else but Yah. And if they didn't teach you, my brothers and sisters, these concepts, they never really taught you the gospel. Like I said, they've been concerned about maintaining their own thrones. Blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who will understand this. Concerning the concept again of first and the last, how about Revelation? How about Revelation 1:11? That's a good place to go. Kind of look over these concepts. Like I said, the first and the last is related to the irrevocable truth, and those who believe in the irrevocable truth, the saying the truth is what it is, are they who find harmony with Yah. Like I said, either one believes the truth because the truth is what it is, or he believes a lie. Either man believes the truth or he's found a fool. Revelation, my brothers and sisters, how about 1:8? How about Aleph and Tau, the beginning and the ending, which is, which was, and which is to come? Sound like a constant standard, my brothers and sisters, concerning not just his physical personage, but, my brothers and sisters, him who declares from the beginning what is to be. The word from the beginning, my brothers and sisters, what the Most High declared from the beginning, what the Most High promised from the beginning, should be the only standard of the will of God unto the people. What a man believes is a God to him. Revelation 1:11 says, I am Aleph and Omega. How about the Aleph and Tau, the first and the last? And he told him, what you see right in the book. Why? Because all the things that he declared shall be. And all things he declared are true to what the Most High declared, an unchanging standard. How about 1:17? 1:17 through 19. Revelation 1:17, he says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. So be it, I have the keys of hell and the grave. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the which seen shall be hereafter. First and last, the unchanging, irrevocable truth. Who will understand in this time, my brothers and sisters? I've heard many speak words, but the Most High told me to know what is said and not know why it is said to miss a point, and oftentimes to argue after misunderstanding. Revelation 22:12-14. Behold, I come quickly, suddenly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am the Aleph and Tau, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed then are who can do his commandments, because his commandments are decided. His rule and reign shall decide who is worthy unto the kingdom. It's not according to the rule of another. It's if anybody take away from these things, he takes away his eternal life, he adds anything, he adds damnation to his soul. Pure and perfect standard, my brothers and sisters, declares life. So the pure and perfect standard, my brothers and sisters, declares whether or not man is true to Yah. Abraham believed Yah, seeking him beyond all taught by men, that there might be one blessing, one understanding. He believed Yah as he is. I can only tell you that in the book of Yehuda, they call Jude, Judah, Yehuda. It tells about how men would take the grace of the knowledge of Yah. The knowledge of the Most High gives, that men might be true to Yah. He said men would take that word and pervert it after their own licentiousness, after their own design, feeling like they even had a right to do so. And let me tell you something. Pagan rulers always felt like they had a right to declare a priesthood. Those would uphold the rule of the kings, who they say got their kingship because they were favored by the most gods. They said they would pervert the grace of Yah, the knowledge of Yah. They would lie. Men fought for their own licentiousness, their own carnal mind. And the scripture says you will want that the Most High destroyed those who, after he saved them, did not believe. What it means, my brothers and sisters, if you take the word and you twist it after the ideas of another, it is not called faith, it is called unbelief. And the scripture says around the 15th verse of that same book says the Messiah would have to come to convince mankind that so much of what he had believed had been falsehood. Again, when the king comes to declare the gospel by which the kingdom and even all the world should be ruled, it should be made quite evident that the rulers of this earth, not preparing for that rule, having been disrespectful of what the Most High declared, not reverent to the fact that the earth belongs to Yah and the fullness thereof, it's become evident to all, my brothers and sisters, that these who have ruled in the earth have not been his people. But they make all kinds of decrees. All kind of rules that by no means are true unto the one Most High. And with them, my brothers and sisters, the Most High cannot be pleased. And his people cannot be free until such as these are deposed from power and the truth again is known. In fact, they would be deposed from power that the truth be known, for they were obstacles rather than liberators. Psalms 2 speaks to the same one. Psalms 2 says, the nations rage and imagine vain things because they're taking counsel against the Most High and against his anointed. But his anointed one shall come forth saying, that the Most High has spoken to me,
saying, you are my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask me, I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance. You should shepherd them with a rod of iron. You should break them in pieces like the breaking of a potter's vessel. Those who hear, you will still yet discipline with a strict and sovereign word that they be one. But those who not listen, you will not listen. You will break like the breaking of a potter's vessel, broken without pity. An unclean potter's vessel will not be cleansed. A pot, my brothers and sisters, will not be shaped because it has in its clay aberrations that prevent it from being shaped and molded according to the potter's design. Scripture says that pot will be broken. It says, therefore, be wise, O king, be instructed, O judges of the earth. Kiss the son, lest he be angry, and you perish from his way, while his wrath is kindled but a little. Again, my brothers and sisters, we're talking about the one in Scripture is called Shiloh. A lot of prophecy, my brothers and sisters, that keeps saying the same thing over and over again. All power from on high, all jurisdiction and authority from on high has been given unto me. Sounds so much like the scriptures, my brothers and sisters, that are also at Second Chronicles and at Ezra. Most High stirred the spirit of one called the King of the Medes, spirit of Cyrus. Saying, all the kings of the earth is the Most High of heaven given me. Saying that whoever is of Judah, so says that whoever it is that would return, would ever return home. It says he commissioned all the land, my brothers and sisters, that Israel be given whatever is necessary to return home as the people of Yah. If you will look with me, the verses are repeated coming right out of 2 Chronicles, right into Ezra. 2 Chronicles 36:22. Now in the first year of Cyrus, they put down Cyrus, but he founded a kingdom called Kurdistan. You can pick up that word and start asking yourself about that word, Kurdistania, which is what the true believers really call themselves. Thus in the first year, of Cyrus, they put down a king of Persia, the Kurdistan. The word of the Most High spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished. The Most High stirred up the spirit of the Kurdi. Remember, Abraham was a Kurd. People from whence the Medes and the Persians were brought to bear. And he made a proclamation through all his kingdom and put it in also in writing, saying, thus said the Kurdi, king of Persia, all the kings of the earth have the Most High of heaven given me. He charged me, did you see, all the kings of the earth that the Most High of heaven given me. He charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among all you of all his people? The Most High, his God, should be with him. Let him go up. There's something about this to consider, my brothers and sisters. The Persian Empire did not extend into Macedonian territories. The Greeks and the Romans, was still across the Mediterranean Sea. But he said all the kings of the earth has Most High given him. Isaiah 11 says this one will come back a second time to gather all the people that were part of his ancient Persian Empire to reclaim, my brother and sister, all that is his, even to gather Israel from the four winds of the whole earth. Who is, my brothers and sisters, will understand who that one is? The Messiah said, I'm the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. One who's called the morning star, my brothers and sisters, is also the one who's called King of the East. You need to check out the website of mine, Early Church Origin and Mutual Expectation at HiddenGospel.com. Understand who it is, my brothers and sisters. The Messiah said, he must be anticipated as being, and who is he anticipating? Prophetically, to come as according to all that was written before, that men might anticipate his rule, anticipate his coming according to those prophecies. He said, let this testimony be testified in all the churches. He is the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. But those who don't know the prophecies concerning this one, my brothers and sisters, easily could be victimized after the misrule of many, because truthfully, the one called the morning star will cast out all the confusion of
all the kings and priests of this world. The reason why they didn't tell you this, quite frankly, the prophets said in advance they wouldn't. So busy in a capitalist world, seeking to attain the exaltation of men, they were willing to lie to you, my brothers and sisters. And believe me, already seeing you on a half, let's just say shaky foundation, giving you half truths that only leave you there, when they're supposed to be teaching you more. Well, the scripture calls it outright treacherous, a thing that must be humiliated before him that people find to be free. Who will understand it in this time, my brothers and sisters? The time is now. You must discern more. I don't call it the website hiddengospel.com and this show Hidden Gospel Revealed for no reason. Most I said it's important that I tell you things. Even things, my brothers and sisters, that men have sought to hide and not pervert, silence and destroy. The rulers have sought to hide and not pervert and destroy since the dawn of human fall. I pray, my brothers and sisters, you will discern this in this time. That you petition the Most High to understand it, all the better. For the time to understand these things is not long. Until we speak again, my brothers and sisters, this has been Enemy Out Covenant Remembrance Ministry. So much more concerning all these things that still need to be spoken. To His might, honor, and His praise always, thanking the Most High always for the every year that He brings in, the bringing forth of the elect. Thanking Him always, my brothers and sisters, that He promised that He would awaken His people, and His promise is most precious. To His might, to His honor, and to His praise always, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah! And I thank you all again for listening.
You've got the word to change a nation, but your Bible.